Good morning. All right, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 103. Let me pray for us. Lord, we just invite you here today. We thank you for a new morning. God, we thank you for the strength that you give us to meet with you. And Father, we just ask for revelation from your word. We ask, God, that you would speak to us this morning. And God, we just want to be in your presence today. We just want to be with you. Lord, we just want to honor you today. God, we want to lift you up. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll read from verse 1 to 13. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. As I was going over this well-known psalm, my thoughts just stopped and at verse 10, and I just couldn't get past it. I was just so stricken with it, and I don't know why. Here in the NASB, it says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, not rewarded us, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For me, I was reading in the NIV, and it sort of struck me that the words in the NIV says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. And as I was just going over that and thinking about that, I was just really overwhelmed at just the incredible character of God, that he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. I mean, in life, we want things to be fair, right? We just want our fair share. We just want fairness. And as I'm going over verse 10, he doesn't treat us like our sins deserve. He just doesn't do that. If you think about our sins and the way we deserve to be treated, He doesn't do that. You know, if I buy something for $8 and I give the cashier $10, I'm expecting $2 in return. I mean, that's what's fair. I want my fair share. You know, as silly as just $2 is, it's $8. I gave you $10. I want my $2. I don't want to be shortchanged. I remember a time where I got a speeding ticket, and I was just like, man, that's not right, man. There's 10 guys in front of me that just went, you know, way faster than the speed limit, and why are you catching me? What about them? I remember in college, I made an illegal left turn, and I didn't know it was an illegal left turn. And he said, there's signs, and I was like, no, there's not signs. And then, I was quite a distance past the scene. And so I looked back and I told the police officer, so you mean that guy right now that's making that left turn is doing illegal? He said, yep. And I was incensed. I was like, all of these people making illegal left turns, yet here he is talking to me, writing out his ticket. And I was like, that's not right. But I realized that when something like that happens to me, that's not fair. But when it happens to somebody else, that's justice. When it happens to me, it's not fair, but when it happens to somebody else, yeah, they get what they deserved. But I didn't get what I deserved. And we want God to be fair with us. When we walk with God, we want things to be problem-free and smooth, and we want God to answer every prayer. We want to make sure that we're happy, and we want God to remove all the obstructions in our lives before we get to them. When we use the word fair, we typically mean the word equitable. You know, we want God to be equitable, you know, equal distribution of things among the people involved. In other words, everyone gets the same thing, the same amount, you know, usually something good, we hope. Another word that we use for fairness maybe is without bias or partiality, and we want God to be fair. But when it comes to Christ, when it comes to God, I realize as I was going over verse 10, I'm just really glad that I didn't get a fair deal. This is one area where I won't complain about being shortchanged. And that area I'm talking about is our sins. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love. I mean, if you have any sort of awareness of our galaxy and and the place that we live in, the heavens go infinitely far, and they're so far away from the earth. And that's how great is love. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions or our sins from us. I'm assuming, and I don't mean to insult you, but I'm assuming you understand how far that is. And just for the sake of illustration, and you've heard it probably many times, but just to reemphasize the point, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our sins. The reason why scriptures uses east and west is because if you go north and south, and once again, I don't mean to insult you, I know you realize this, but you start at the North Pole and you head south. Eventually, you will go back north. And eventually, you will land at the same place again. But when you go east, you will always go east. The only way to go west is you have to turn back. And so if you go east forever, you will continue to go east forever. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west. In other words, you can keep going and going and going and never reach west. That's how far he's removed our sins from us. God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or require. Our sins are deserving of punishment, but instead we receive reward. We deserve death, but instead we receive life. Jesus, the one who deserved glory, took the guilt and sin upon himself. 2 Corinthians says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. In Matthew, in that section of the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. That word forgive is the Greek word aphiemi, for forgive. A direct translation of the word aphiemi is to send away. And so basically he's saying he's sending away your sins from you. It's that same word used in Luke 4:39 when Jesus rebukes the fever in Peter's mother-in-law, and he rebukes it, and he sends that fever away. That's the kind of forgiveness Psalm 103:12 describes as God removing our transgressions. He takes our sin, and he removes it, and he sends it away, and it's gone. He's not like an accountant who's keeping books and keeping tracks. It's an accountant's job to not make sure that no transaction or money is overlooked. I know, you know, some people from the government, you know, they come back, you know, years past asking for repayment. For the Christian, for the believer, God doesn't suddenly come up with a past debt that you owe. He doesn't keep books that'll keep you out of heaven. For your debt has been paid in full in Jesus Christ. And we sin every day. And in Christ, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't give us according to what we deserve. There's a saying that says that there are three absolutes about sin. Sin will take you farther than you plan to go. Sin will cost you more than you wanted to pay. And sin will take you lower than you plan to go. Yet the scripture says he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. There's a couple passages that have the introductory phrase of but God. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In Ephesians 2, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together in Christ. But God doesn't treat us the way that we ought to be treated because of our sins. But God, because he is rich in mercy. But God, because he is filled with compassion. But God. If you look back at the Old Testament, you might remember that when the people sinned, they had to take an animal and give a sacrifice. Every time they sinned, they had to get an animal, an oxen, dove, birds, cattle, whatever, and they had to offer a sacrifice for the redemption of their sin. So they had to do this often. They had to do this at the temple. They had to do. And if you think about it, you realize God from the beginning has always wanted some way, trying to find some way to pardon his people from sin. Some way to pardon his people from death. Even in the Old Testament, he's trying to find some sort of system to pardon his people from sin. He doesn't want his people to come under the consequences of sin. He's finding some way, and now you move to the New Testament, and there's Jesus. There's Jesus. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins. Micah 7, on Sunday I talked about Micah 6. Micah 7, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of your people? For you do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will have compassion on us and tread our sins underfoot and cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. God, who are you that does this? Who doesn't treat us like our sins deserve? Who are you? What is this compassion that you have for us? What is this love that you have for us? What is this? Who is this God that is trying to find ways to save us from our sins? Most of us realize this whole idea of mercy and grace, right? Mercy is you don't get what you deserve. Grace is you get what you don't deserve. Right? If you think about it, God gave us mercy. Right? He gave us mercy. He didn't give us what we deserve. We deserve death, and he didn't give it to us. We deserve punishment, and he didn't give it to us. And for most people, that would have been good enough. Wow, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I deserve to go to jail, but I didn't have to. I deserve to go to prison, but I didn't have to. And for most people, that would be good enough. Great, Lord. Thank you. But not only does he give us mercy, he gives us grace on top of his mercy. Not only does he save you from death, not only does he save you from your sins, not only does he save you from darkness, but he gives and extends even grace on top of that mercy, that he gives you life. He gives you reward. He gives you, and if you think about the fact that you get both mercy and grace, and he doesn't treat you like your sins deserve. I mean, grace is a gift that is just freely given to us. It's not earned. It's not worked. You can't work hard enough to warrant it. There's nothing you can do to purchase it. Grace is a gift. It's offered without strings. It's made available without condition. This is the love that God has given us through Jesus Christ. And if you meditate on that and you think about that, and then I think about, it is when I said, God, I don't need you. I don't want any part of you. I don't want anything to do with you, God. It's when I said those things, his love still reached down and extended grace. It's those times when I said, I don't want anything to do with you, God. that he's come down and he sent Jesus to die in our place to give us an opportunity, trying to make a way so that we would enter into a personal relationship with him. That is the God that we serve. And now I can begin to see how David, in verse 1, is able to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities." Because David sinned against God. David sinned mightily against God. He was in his iniquities. He was in diseased, a disease of the soul. He was in a pit. Yet he was surrounded by loving kindness and compassion. Not only is it about God giving us mercy and not treating us as our sins deserve, but on top of that, his incredible love. Just want to share one last story as we just meditate. I mean, for me, just meditating on the idea that he doesn't treat us like our sins deserve. For me, that just blows me away. There's a wife who was driving her husband's sports car, and she was enjoying it, a brand new convertible, top down, just enjoying it on the road, just enjoying the wind through her hair, just enjoying the sunshine. And as she was daydreaming, she rear-ended the person in front of her. And she was fine. She wasn't hurt. But her immediate thought, like many of us would feel, is like, my husband is going to kill me. And she was more afraid of her husband's reaction than actual injury to herself. So as she waited a little while, the police came and asked for her license and insurance papers and et cetera, et cetera. And so she opened the glove compartment, didn't know, and looked through there to reach for her papers. And on top of all the documents, there was this white envelope with her name on it. And so curious to see what that was, she opened it and began to read, "Dear Beth, if you're reading this right now, you've probably been in an accident. Don't worry. I pray that you're all right. Just remember, it's you that I love, Jim." And I think about the Lord's love, how when we sin against him, we're so scared and afraid. But he doesn't treat us like our sin deserves. And this morning, I want us to have this psalm, this Psalm 103, just come alive. Just come alive. And that you would experience the incredible love of God. That as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgression. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Let's meditate on that this morning. If I could ask Janella to come in, and we're going to worship. Who are you, God, that you would pardon us from our sins, that you would not treat us as our sins deserve, repay us according to our iniquities? For the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger, verse 8 says, abounding in loving kindness. Wow. Wow. I thought I knew what compassion was. The next time we see someone who's irritating us, we think compassion is just being tolerant and being patient. But the Lord takes compassion to a whole nother level. That though we have sinned against Him, that we have wronged Him, He doesn't treat us like our sins deserve. But He's slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Let's sing this together. I don't think the screens are working quite yet. We've been under construction for the past couple of days trying to install some things. But the song we're going to sing simply comes from Psalm 103. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He's removed our transgressions from us.
It's fine.
Can we sing praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Holy Spirit, it's so hard. So Lord, we ask for your help to live out your word, trusting that as we live out your word, that we would see a transformation in our lives. See, because when someone wrongs you, how is it that we can respond with compassion? That's what Christ did. And maybe he's calling us to live in such a way that when we are wronged, to react with compassion. Because that's what he did for us. It's hard. It's challenging. So we ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Before we go into intercession, just want you to take just a moment to just meditate on the immensity of God's love, how enormous God's love is for us, and the compassion that he has shown us. And maybe just come before him and praise him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. My inmost being, bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now let's pray for those who need our prayers, who need help, who need assistance from God, and those who are suffering from cancer. And once again, we don't have the names on the screen, but if you remember them, lift them up in prayer, or pray for those who you know are struggling with cancer right now. And so let's lift them up and ask the Lord to heal.
cancer would be canceled and destroyed. We say no more, God, to those cells, Lord. We just pray, Father God, for Jesus. Lord, we just pray right now, Father, for mercy, God. For mercy and grace, God. Now, God. We pray for the families, Lord Jesus. We just pray, Father, for just testimonies and just the transformation and change, God. Glory to God.
Let's pray for salvation for those who are sick and ill. Let's pray not only just for those who have cancer, but let's just pray for salvation for our loved ones. Let's lift them up in prayer this morning. Let's ask the Lord to reveal himself, to open eyes, unveil the eyes that are blind, and ask the Lord to come. Let's pray for salvation. Pray for those with other illnesses and sicknesses and those friends and family that you know that are sick. Let's lift them up in prayer right now. Let's pray for those looking for jobs. Let's lift them up right now. Speaking to lift up North Korea and South Korea and Japan, and I had a wonderful talk with Kenny yesterday, and just sharing just how dark Japan is and how they need servants to go into that land and proclaim the gospel and be light. And so let's just lift up Japan and North Korea and the situation there. Let's pray for Kenneth, who just needs our prayers, and let's just pray for Let's just pray for that situation in that area of our world. Let's lift it up. Upon them, Jesus, Lord, would you come and visit North Korea, Lord, God, North Korea, Lord, would you be there?
mercy, come, Lord.
Just want to encourage you to intercede. Just intercede for whatever the Spirit has given on your heart. Just as the Spirit is just leading you, whatever, for whatever it is. Maybe it's personal. Maybe it's for others. Maybe it's for countries and nations. Whatever it may be, just let the Spirit just guide you and lead you. And I may close. I may not. Just have your time with the Lord, and you can go at your leisure, and just go anytime. We bless you, Lord.